We are excited about sharing Thanksgiving dinner together. We do this every year at this time. I thank all of you for bringing what you have brought and for participating. If you're our guest, or maybe this is your first time here at First Baptist Church, we want you to stay. Or maybe you're a longtime member, just didn't bring anything. Stay. Let's stay after the service today. We'll stay and eat and fellowship and enjoy Thanksgiving together. I'll give some instructions at the end of the hour when we conclude everything, a little bit how what comes next after that. Do especially want to thank Lonnie and JB that cooked our turkeys outside through the night. They were out there through the night. When I came in this morning, there they were. And I said, before I thought about what I was saying, what are you guys doing? I said, you know, I'm usually the first one here, but so delighted. And so many others work so hard to make this happen for us and to build fellowship in the body of Christ. We appreciate that. Our Cuba team is home, so thank you for your prayers for them. They are the five exhausted and exhilarated people. Have you ever been exhausted and exhilarated at the same time? That's them. You'll find them. Five or six. Was it five or six? Six. Y'all were so quiet. Commit. Thank you. Also, just a quick reminder, the weekend of encouragement is coming up at the end of January. We're a partner church with this great marriage retreat that takes place in Myrtle Beach. You see the information around the church. You see it on our website. Couples, pray about participating if you've not done so to the weekend of encouragement marriage retreat in Myrtle Beach at the end of January this year. Sign up for that. So this is Thanksgiving week. And Thanksgiving is interesting. It's a reminder of family and fellowship and just getting together, eating a lot. It's kind of a reminder of how much we can eat and get away with it. It's also a reminder of just how much our attitudes and actions matter. You know, Thanksgiving is, to be thankful is an attitude long before it's an action that takes place. And it's tightly connected. The Bible teaches our gratitude is tightly connected to our relationship with God. God designed you to be thankful and to benefit from gratitude and thanksgiving. Did you know that? And studies have borne this out over and over again. Several years ago, Inc. magazine published an article titled, now listen to this title, "Listening to Complainers is Bad for Your Brain." Yeah. Gripers, negative people, complainers are bad for you, and to listen to them. And their research showed if you listen to negative people for 30 minutes or more, it has an adverse effect on your ability to think straight and to focus well. And that doesn't have to be the person sitting beside you or you're at coffee with or you're at work with. It applies to the news media. It applies to social media. If you absorb the negative, the complainers and the gripers, it has an adverse effect on you. This jibes with other research along the way that demonstrates over and over that not only is complaining and negativity, not only does it adversely affect us, but thanksgiving and gratitude and having that attitude has a positive effect on people. Psychologists have shown over and over that gratitude, to put it bluntly, is good for you. And more to the point, gratitude is a choice. And the Bible teaches that when you come to worship, you come in a mindset of gratitude. It makes your worship, get this, more joyful. In fact, over and over, the Bible connects worship, joy, and gratitude. Thanksgiving, joy, and worship. Thankful people worship joyfully. Joyful people worship with thanksgiving. It's all connected. It's all related in Scripture. You'll remember from our study these several weeks, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul says, listen to this, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, what he's saying in that is not that every circumstance is what you want it to be, but that God is always faithful, and you can know that God is always working out his will in every circumstance that you're in when you trust him. And that's cause to be grateful. It's cause to rejoice. It's cause to lift up everything in prayer, in dedication, in worship. Because you know God is at work in every situation and in your circumstances and in your life. This morning, we're going to look at a fourth practice of joy. We've looked at three previously in this study of how to intentionally cultivate joy in your life. And this morning, we're going to look at joyful worship, how to intentionally cultivate joyful worship and what the Bible says about that. The Bible gives us plenty of reasons to rejoice. And as we'll see this morning, in most cases, when the Bible speaks to us about rejoicing, it connects that to worship. It's as if the follow-through of rejoicing and thanksgiving is almost always to worship. And people who are in a right attitude of thanksgiving and who intentionally rejoice in the Lord are participating in worship. And then they decide to continue participating in worship. One of our favorite verses in Scripture, Psalm 118. You'll recognize this right away because it speaks to rejoicing and worship. Psalm 118, verse 24, the Bible says, "This is the day," what? "That the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it." It is a call to worship based on the character of the Creator. That every day you wake up and you can know that God is the same God and this is the day He has made. Never mind what happened yesterday. Never mind the circumstances. Your God is always God. And when you woke up today, God had not changed. And for that reason, this day can be a day of rejoicing. Let's rejoice. Let's worship. Let's be glad in this day. The Bible has several terms that we translate, several terms in the original language we translate as rejoice or joy. They're all connected. They all have undergird with the same meaning. And Psalm 118 is one of the most common ancient words translated as rejoice. And it speaks of jubilant celebration, of an attitude, not so much the action of jubilation and celebration, but the attitude. When was the last time you came into a worship service just like this, or you met the Lord at the dinner table early in the morning with an attitude of jubilation and celebration? Rejoicing in the Lord, intentionally cultivating that attitude as you come to Him in worship. So for just a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider how you can cultivate and what you can remember to celebrate, to rejoice in the Lord in worship. What you'll notice right away is that our rejoicing in the Lord in worship, when we cultivate joy in worship, it has nothing to do with our circumstances. Instead, it's about the nature, the character of God, in particular, the faithfulness of God, the consistency of God and who God is. That's a reason to get up every day and rejoice in the Lord. That's a reason. Because you know He is trustworthy, He is absolute, He is consistent, and He is faithful in all things. So no matter what's going on in the circumstances, we worship God because of Him, who He is, what His character is, His faithfulness is. Another way to put it is that worship is not a reflection of your circumstances. Worship is always a response to God and to who God is. You may have come in here this morning and you've had the worst week of your life. You may have come in here this morning and you had the best week of your life. Everything went swimmingly. Either way, God is still God. And He is worthy of our worship, and His faithfulness is reason enough to rejoice, to celebrate, to be grateful, and to be thankful. This morning we're going to look at a few passages from the book of Psalms, beginning with Psalm 27. If you have your Bible, go ahead and find Psalm 27. Just hold your place there for a minute. Psalm 27 and verse 5. As we're reminded from the psalmist, mostly King David, who wrote these psalms, that worship is a response to God's character, His faithfulness, His kindness, His grace, His compassion. We rejoice because of who He is. No matter what's happening in your life, the circumstances around you, God is who He is. And first of all, you can rejoice because God defends you. God defends you. Look at Psalm 27 and verse 5. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Verse 6, then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices. Suddenly, the psalmist has turned to worship. I will offer sacrifices in this tent with what? Shouts of joy. And I will sing and make music to the Lord. Do you notice the mix of images and metaphors there? God conceals me. God hides me. God sets me on a high place. Well, if I'm up on a high place, I'm not hidden. I'm obviously visible to anyone around me. But if I'm concealed and I'm hidden, I'm not visible. So what's going on there? What do those images have in common? Safety. God hides me. God protects me. God conceals me. God sets me up on a high place where no one can get to me. But I can see everything going on. And it's my God that is doing this. In this passage, God is the defender. It doesn't mean that you'll never have adversity, you'll never have uncertainty, you'll never have difficulty in your life. What it's reminding you is that God knows where you are and takes care of you right where you are. He cares for you that much. I'm a Clemson fan. Nobody? Yeah, I know it. Yesterday, their last home game of the season and senior day at Clemson. So they rotated out the first string players in favor of others and through the game. Well, of course, they were way ahead. I mean, there's no, wasn't they going to lose or anything? So once they got that far ahead, Coach Dabo rotated out players. In the course of the game, there were three quarterbacks for Clemson, right? Now, if you think about it, they've got, even if they rotate out players on the offensive line, it's still the offensive line. Now, if you're reading this passage, you might think in your mind that the better connection, the better illustration, if I'm going to use a football illustration, is the defense, right? No, it's not. It's the offensive line. Because no matter who's in the pocket, the offensive line always has the same job. They always work together. They always do the same thing. What are they doing? They're protecting the quarterback. That's their job. The image is very similar here. Every single person that commits themselves to Christ, doesn't matter what you've been going through, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your life looks like, God defends you. God is there for you. In the midst of your adversity, your uncertainty, and your trial, you can know that your God is your defender. He is there for you to conceal you, to set you on a high place, to keep you safe in the midst of the turmoil. When your mind runs wild with every possible negative, complaining thing, and you turn to God and you start to tell him everything wrong in your life, your God says to you, I've been with you the whole time, and you have no idea what I've kept away from you. I've kept you on a high place. I've concealed you in the rock. I've taken care of you. That's reason, David says, to rejoice, to celebrate, to worship the Lord, because your God is your defender. Second, your God surrounds you. Rejoice, worship. Your God surrounds you. Now turn with me to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 10. The Bible says, many pains come to the wicked. Lots of bad stuff happens to bad people. But the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord, and here it is, rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. He makes a statement of the faithful love of God surrounding him, and he says, here's my response. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to shout with joy because his faithful love surrounds me. The word surround literally refers to being encircled on all sides simultaneously. It's very similar to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 when he says, nothing can ever take me away from the love of God. Nothing removes me from his love. His love always encircles me. It always surrounds me. This is a promise of his presence. He never leaves you alone. And there's no gap in that circle. There's not a place around you which God has left open, which God had said, well, I'm not going to love you because of that in your life or because of that in your life. Because God is entirely faithful. His faithful love surrounds you. And King David says the only right response to that is to worship. Shouts of joy translates a slightly different word than we saw before for joy. It just translates shouts of joy. In this case, it's a war cry of joy. It's the believer shouting out, I have God surrounding me. I have God taking care of me. I have God present with me. God is in control of my life. He is absolutely faithful. The circumstances might look dim. They might even look dangerous. But my God has not changed. And He is always with me, surrounding me with His faithful, absolute love. Think about that this week. God Himself has encircled you with His love. You thought you were out there just going about your business all by yourself. But God has surrounded you with His love. That's reason for a joyful celebration and worship, isn't it? Because God is always faithful. Then last, rejoice because your God redeems you. That's the best news of all, isn't it? Your God redeems you. Psalm 71 and verse 22. 71 and verse 22. Therefore, I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing to you with a lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you because you have redeemed me. In this passage, His faithfulness is His firmness. It's His constancy. And David is saying, I know I can count on your unchanging character. I know this. So I respond. How do I respond? He says, in shouts of joy, I respond. A different word together here as well, translated as joy into the English language. This one is the mirror image of singing praise. Shouts of joy, singing praise, people in worship, singing out loud to God. And you're going to like this. Very literally, the phrase shouts of joy is something like shrill, loud shouts. Yeah, a lot of us sing that way, don't we? And God loves it. Your neighbor might not. But God loves that shrill voice of yours when you sing your praises to Him, when you celebrate His presence and His power in your life. Why? For this one thing, He redeems you. If you struggle with joy in your life in any other way, you can always have joy in this. Christ redeems you. If you're a believer in Christ, you can know that God Himself, through Jesus Christ, has set you free, has released you. Throughout Scripture, when that word comes up, it nearly always means the same thing in every language. He has paid my debt and set me free. The Bible teaches that all the whole Old Testament is connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. In Christ and in Christ alone is our debt paid, our debt to sin. We are set free from sin and death. And if you're in this room and you struggle for any other reason to find joy, to practice joy, to cultivate joy in worship, always remember this. Jesus Christ died for you and redeems you to set you free. That should be the basis for all of our worship, the shout of joy in all of our lives, the singing of praise we bring when we come to worship is because Christ has redeemed us and He has set us free. You may have heard the story of Lee and Dennis Horton. 1993, Lee and Dennis were had gone out to buy some things and spend some time out. They're brothers, and they were walking home, and they caught a ride with a friend who happened to be driving by. Now, what they didn't know is that friend had just been involved in a robbery and a murder. And in just a few minutes, police showed up. They pulled them all over, arrested all three men, and Lee and Dennis both went to prison for 28 years. Now, their story has been popularized and talked about in the news, but a lot went on there, and they said over and over and over, all they did was get in the car, and it was the other man who, to get a lesser sentence, said that they actually committed the crime, and you get the idea. So they spent 28 years in prison. Not long ago, they were released, and Lee Horton talked about that release from prison. It's really interesting what he said. He said, when I was released from prison, and I went out, and I sat in the car to leave, I realized it was the first time in 28 years I wasn't wearing handcuffs outside of myself. He said, the first thing my brother and I did was went to the DMV to get our driver's license. Because the DMV is such a joyful place. But they were in line, they said they were in line for 2.5 hours at the DMV, laughing, talking to people, getting weird looks from angry people, tired of being at the DMV. And here they were, these two brothers, absolutely overjoyed to be able to once again get their driver's license. Just the joy of doing it, to having their identity in their pocket again. Lee says every day since then, he gets up in the morning and all of his contacts in his phone, he sends to them a hearty, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. By the way, it's been 5 years. Good morning. Good morning. He had a friend text him back not long after he started doing this. Are you going to always do this? He said, absolutely. I'm absolutely going to do this every day. I want you to know the joy that I know for being free. When was the last time that's how you approached worship? Every time we come with joy. Why? Because we're free, liberated, redeemed in Christ. We couldn't do it ourselves. We were sinners, dead in our trespasses and sins, bound for hell, judged by God, but because of Christ and his blood on the cross, and putting all our trust in him and him alone, no one else, we've been set free, free of sin and free of death. Isn't that reason to celebrate? Isn't that reason for joy? May we never lose that joy and that celebration, because that is the most joyful thing in the Christian life. If you're in here or at home and you've never experienced the joy of salvation, I hope you do today. I hope this Thanksgiving will be the year when you suddenly realize what there is to be grateful for. It's not the circumstances, it's the God who loves you that gives you joy when he redeems you in Christ. Heavenly Father, God, how we praise you and thank you so much for the redemption we have in Christ. May our hearts be reignited with joy. As David himself would say in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Remind me of the cost of my redemption. And God, I pray for us that we would live as people who have been redeemed, who have been set free in Christ. Father, I pray in the time of response, if there's just one here that needs Christ, they would trust Christ as their Savior today, to be redeemed, to be free, to be cleansed of sin and unrighteousness. If there's a believer in this room that needs to be reminded of the joy of their salvation, God, break through the crust of our hearts and God, reignite in us that passion, that joy for our salvation. Other decisions we need to make, Father, I pray you would move in our midst today, that this Thanksgiving would be a turning point in our lives in the direction of God that you're calling us to go. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.